Alright, I'm flipping the switch right now.
Today's daf is Brachas, daf Mem Amud Aleph, and we will begin at the top of the Amud with the first words, Amar Rav. Amar Rav, tul b'roich, ein etzorich levarich. What Rav is discussing is when someone, the botseya, who is breaking bread for the assembled, usually the correct way to do it is that he would make the bracha motzei lechem min ha'aretz, he would cut or break off a piece of of bread or challah, and he would eat it, and then he would break off some more challah for the assembled. But in the case that Rav is discussing, he did not do that. What the Botseya did was, after making the bracha, he cut off for himself a piece, but he also cut off for the other people who were assembled, and he gave it to them, and he said the words, Tul Baruch, take from that which was blessed, take from the Hamotzi, which I made a bracha over, take from that piece of challah. And the question Rashi explains is whether Sicha Havi Hafsaka, whether speaking is a hefsik in this case, is an interruption. We know that when a person makes a bracha over a mitzvah, he should immediately perform the mitzvah, and he should not interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah. And Rav's question here is, do these words constitute a hefsik? And we would say that since it has nothing to do with the performance of the mitzvah, in this case, it should be a hefsik. Rav teaches us not that this is not correct. It is not a hefsik because, since it is for the benefit of the other people who are assembled, their mitzvah, therefore it is not considered a hefsik. And therefore, Amar Rav, tul b'roich, ein etzorich levarich. He does not have to repeat and make hamotzi again. It is not considered a hefsik. Were it to be considered a hefsik, he would have to repeat the bracha before he eats his own piece of challah. However, the Ramah tells us in Arachayim that this should not be done in the first instance. Lichat chila, one should give any kind of instruction to the assembled before washing, before the entire breaking of the bread. This is only b'riyevet. If he did it incorrectly, we tell him that ein etzorich levarich, he does not have to repeat the hamotzi. However, says Rav, havei melech, havei liftin, bring salt, bring relish. Tzorich levarich, that has nothing to do with anyone's bracha or mitzvah, having salt or relish on the table. And therefore, it is considered a hefsik. It is an interruption, and therefore, the botseya is required to make the bracha of hamotzi over again if he interrupted with these words, havei lift and havei melech. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Afil haviu melech, haviu lift, nami ein tzorich levarich. Even if he interrupted and said these words before eating the piece of the challah, he said, bring salt, bring relish, he does not have to make a bracha again. And Rashi gives the reason, because it is for the purpose of a mitzvah, because it should be eaten with total enjoyment and with total good taste, which is accomplished by the salt and by the relish, and therefore it is considered for the purpose of the mitzvah, and he does not have to repeat and make a new bracha. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the following words would constitute an interruption, a hefsek. Gvil l'turei, as Rashi says, gvil es hamursin b'mayim l'tzarech hashvarim, that he told his servant that he should knead the bran with water for the oxen in order that they should eat. Gvil l'turei, gvil l'turei, tzarech levarch. That, again, has nothing to do with his performance of the mitzvah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion this would constitute a hefsek, an interruption, and he has to repeat and say over the bracha before eating his own piece of challah. However, a third opinion says, Rav Sheshes Amar, afilik vilaturi nami ein etzorich levarach. Even if he said, knead the bran with water for the oxen, he does not have to say over Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Why? What purpose does this serve in terms of the mitzvah of Hamotzi? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, it is forbidden for a person to eat before he has given food for his animal. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'nasati Eisim B'Sot Cholem Techo, Hashem says, I will give grass in your fields for your animals. V'hadur, and then the Pasuk says, V'chalta, you should eat, you, the human being, should eat, V'savot, and you should be satisfied. So since we see that the order is that the animal should receive his food first, from this Rav learns out that it is forbidden for a person to eat before feeding his animal. And therefore, if a person made hamotzi and he realized that his animal had not yet eaten, and he tells his servant to mix the knead the bran with water for the purpose of the oxen eating, that is considered for the purpose of his own fulfillment of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, because he's not allowed to eat unless he feeds his animals first, and therefore it is not a hefsek, and therefore he does not have to repeat Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz according to the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rav Chiya, Ein Habotzei Rishor Luvtzoya Atshiya Viyu Melech Oyliftin Lufnei Kolach V'yechot. Rav Bar Shmuel said in the name Rav Chiya that the one who's breaking bread is not allowed to break bread unless he first has requested salt or relish in front of every person. And the reason is based on what we learned before, as Rashi explained, that these items, salt and relish, give taste to the bread, and therefore he is performing the mitzvah with the full enjoyment, and therefore the people who are assembled should not have to wait for the salt and relish to be brought to them, but rather, says Rav Bar Shmuel, the salt and relish should be in front of them so that when they are hearing the bracha from the one who's breaking the bread, and they're being yotzei with his bracha, immediately after hearing the bracha, they should be able to dip their bread into salt or relish and fulfill the mitzvah with the full enjoyment. And now the Gemara tells us a story which seems to contradict. It's a story about Rav Bar Shmuel, and it seems to contradict his own halacha, which he just stated that one should use salt or relish. Rav Bar Shmuel Ekel Lebei Reish Galusa. He once visited the Reish Galusa, the head of the Galus. This was the prince, the head of the Jewish community in Bavel. Afik Le Rifta, they brought out to Rav Bar Shmuel bread, Ubatzel Ahedja, and he broke bread immediately. He did not wait for salt or relish to be brought. Amru Lei, so the people in the house of the Reish Galusa said to Rav Bar Shmuel, Hadr Mar Mishmaitzei. We know that you gave a psak that the salt and relish should be in front of the botseya, and he should dip his salt, his bread, into the salt or relish, and the same with all the assembled. And here we see that you did not wait for salt or relish. Did you have charata? Do you regret what you paskened before? Amar Lahu, he responded, no, this is a different kind of bread. I was saying a halacha only by bread made from coarse flour. But this is bread made from very fine flour. This, as Rashi says, is pas nekiya. And since it's a very high quality type of bread, Rashi says, ein shricha liftin, it does not require anything to give it more flavor. It does not require relish or salt. Les dein tzarech bishash. Bishash means, as Rashi explains, siluk, ikuv. Rashi says that it does not require any waiting for. You don't have to wait for salt or relish, but rather immediately this fine floured bread can be eaten. It tastes so wonderful that it does not require any enhancements, and therefore I do not have charata from what I said the rule is by bread made from coarse flour. But in this case, where it's fine flour, salt or relish is not needed. And now the Gemara does something which we find in many places, and that is, it begins to quote different teachings of Rav Bar Shmuel. Since we already mentioned Rav Bar Shmuel in the name of Rav Chiya, pertaining to the sugya here in Ketzed Mevarchim, the Gemara now brings other rulings of Rav Reshmul which do not have to do with our sugya here, Masechta Brachos. V'yomer Rav Reshmul Mishum Rav Chiya, Ein Mei Reglayim Kolam Ela B'Yeshiva, that when a person is urinating, the urine will not empty out of the bladder completely unless he sits down. As Rashi explains, Lefik Shekishakiluach Korv Lepisuk, if a person is urinating standing up, as the flow begins to diminish and is ending, Hudoeg, the person is worried, Shelo Yiflun Tzaitzal Raglov, that drops of Meiraglan will not fall on his feet, Umafsik, and therefore he stops the flow out of this fear, and as a result, the bladder is not emptied out of the urine completely. Therefore, said Rav Shmuel, in the name of Rav Chiya, if a person wants that the bladder should empty out totally from the urine, he must urinate be yeshiva sitting down, and then he will not be worried about the drops falling on his feet. Amar Rav Kahana, to which Rav Kahana said, Ubi offer tichuach, if a person has loose earth in front of him when he's urinating, afilu bamida, even if he's standing up, then he's not worried about the drops falling on his feet because the loose earth will absorb all of the droplets of urine and therefore he can empty out the bladder even if he's standing up. V'ilek offer tichuach. And if there's no loose earth available, yamad b'makom gavoy, he should stand in a high place, v'yashil b'makom madrin, and he should urinate on top of an inclined surface that slopes away from him and therefore he will no longer fear the droplets from coming on his legs, and therefore he'll be able to empty the bladder even if he is standing up. The Amar Rav Shmuel Mishum Rav Chiya, another teaching of Rav Shmuel in the name of Rav Chiya. After all your eatings, eat salt. After all your drinkings, the whatever you've drunk during the meal, shesay mayim, drink water, and you will not be harmed by anything that you may have eaten or drunk during the meal. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned like this in the Brice as well. Achar kol achiloscha achal melech. After all your eatings, eat salt. V'achar kol shioscha, and after everything you've drunk during the meal, say mayim, drink water. V'yaton nizik, and you will not be harmed. Tanya Yedek, we learned in another Brice. Achar kol machal le'achal melech. If a person ate any type of food, but he did not eat salt. Shasa kol mashkin, he drank any kind of liquid, v'loy shasamayim, he did not drink water. B'yoyim, in the daytime, yidek min reich hapeh, he should worry about bad breath. U'balaylo, and at night, yidek mitnei askra, he should worry about diphtheria. Tana rabbanan, the rabbanan learned in a brisa, hamakpe achilosoy b'mayim, if someone floats his food with water, in other words, he drinks a lot of water that the food is floating in his stomach, he will not come to have intestinal illnesses. The kamo, and what is the ratio of bread to water, of food to water? Om Rav Chisda Kiton Lepas. Rav Chisda said, a flask of water, this would be the standard flask that Rav Chisda had in his time, in proportion lepas to a loaf of bread, the standard loaf that Rav Chisda had in his time. This is considered that the food is floating in the water. Om Rav Mori, Om Rav Yochan, Haragul Badashim, if someone is used to eating lentils, Achsel Shloshim Yoyim, once in 30 days, Moinea Askor Mitach Beisai, he will prevent diphtheria from coming into his house. Avol kol yoyim aloy, but he should not eat the lentils every day. My time, what is the reason for this? Mishum de kashal reicha peh, because eating lentils every day is bad for bad breath. The Amar Rav Mori, Amar Rav Yochan, haragel b'chardel achsel shoshim yoyim. If somebody is used to eating mustard once in 30 days, moineya chaloy mitoch beisoy, he prevents illnesses from entering his home. Avol kol yoyim aloy, once again, he should not eat the mustard every day. My time, because if he eats it every day, mishum de kashul chol shaliba, because it is bad for the weakness of his heart. Amr Rabbi Barashi, Amr Rav, haragel b'dagim tanim, if someone is used to eating small fish, ein aboli de chol miayim, he will not come to any illnesses of his intestines. He will not come to intestinal illness. The loyoid, and not only will it prevent him from getting chol miayim, mefarin umeravin, which comes from the word puruvu. Small fish make a person fertile. Umevarin kol gufo shel adam, and they make his entire body healthy. So not only does it prevent cholim mi'alim, but it has a positive effect on him as well. Omer, Rab Chama, Rabbi Chanina, haragol beketzach. If somebody is used to eating ketzach, what is ketzach? Says Rashi, two pshatim. The first pshat he says from his Rabbi Seinu, he gives a French word which means fennel. And then he says, well, ani shamati, but I heard a different pshat than my teachers, that what is ketzach min zroim, it's a kind of seed, shazorna soy be'eretz shmol, that they seed this seed in Arabia. If somebody eats this fennel or this seed, ainu bolidei koev lev, he does not come to have any heart pains. So in other words, ketzach is a positive food. It works positively on a person, beneficially. Frag the Gemara, so the Gemara asks, Mace, I'll ask you a question. We find that ketzach is detrimental to a person. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, ketzach echad mishishim samani amavasu, it's one of the 60 kinds of poisons. It could actually kill a person. And a person who sleeps to the east of his storage area, he is storing ketzach in his storage area, and he sleeps to the east. And as Rashi explains, there are westerly winds coming off the Mediterranean, which are blowing in the easterly direction. They're coming from the west and blowing towards the east, and he's sleeping in the east. Now these winds, which are very moist winds, and they're very heavy winds, and they will become thick with the harmful odor of the ketzach, blowing towards him who's sleeping in the east, he will get sick from the fumes. Dame Barosha, he can, by doing this, he can kill himself. And whose fault will it be? The blood will be on his head. He will be responsible for his own death as a result of inhaling these poisonous fumes. So how can you tell us that ketzach is beneficial? A person doesn't get koiv lev, he doesn't get heart pains. Here we find that it could actually kill a person. Gemara says, loikasha, this is not difficult. Habereichoi habetaimoi. As Rashi explains, that hareich kasha, the fumes are indeed bad for a person. Vatam, but the taste of the ketzach is toiv, the taste is good. So if a person could separate the smell from the taste, he would benefit, and he would not be hurt with the bad odor. Aimed Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Gemara gives such an example of the mother of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Afile Rifta, she would bake bread for her son, and she wanted him to eat healthy foods. Umedapkole, she would attach the ketzach onto the bread, and she would let the bread absorb the taste, the good taste of the ketzach. But then umekalpole, then she would peel it off, so that he would not smell the bad odor, the poisonous odor from the ketzach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bar Mina D'Sham. The Gemara now goes back to explain the last part of our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that by greens like cabbage, the Mishnah said, "Vala Yerakas Hu Omer Bar Pri Adama." The Tanakhama's opinion was that on greens like cabbage, where the plant itself is eaten, one makes a Bar Pri Adama, as he makes on all other vegetables. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Bar Mina D'Sham, that you say on these that Hashem created all kinds of different herbs. You make a more specific bracha on these greens, and you do not use the catch-all bracha of Boirei Pri Adama. Amar Rav Zeir, Vitam Rav Chanina Bar Papa. Rav Zeir, and some say it was Rav Chanina Bar Papa who said, Ein halacha k'Rav Yehuda. The halacha is not like Rav Yehuda. The halacha is like the Tanakhama, that even on these greens, you make a Boirei Pri Adama and not a Boirei Mina D'Sham. The Amar Rav Zeir, Vitam Rav Chanina Bar Papa. And the same ones who said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda did give an explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda who wants to make a more specific bracha of Boirei Mina D'Sham? Amar Kra, where do I find this concept that one should be more specific when he blesses Hashem? It says the pasuk in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim. David HaMelech said that we have to bless Hashem each and every day. And the Marsha explains that the Gemara is trying to understand why is the word Yom repeated twice. So the Gemara thinks that perhaps it's repeated twice because we should not think that the word Yom is a day of 24 hours, but rather Yom Yom, David HaMelech is specifying only the daytime hours when there is light, and not the night. And the Gemara finds this difficult to understand. Was David HaMelech suggesting that one should only bless Hashem in the daytime and not at night? Of course, we have to bless Hashem day and night, 24 hours. So why indeed does David HaMelech repeat the word Yom twice? This comes to tell you that kol yom v'yom, each and every day, the day is in fact a day of 24 hours, but each and every day, we should bless Hashem with the unique brachas of that day. As Rashi says, b'Shabbos main Shabbos, on Shabbos, for example, in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos, we give a special bracha to Hashem for sanctifying Shabbos. B'Yontev main Yontev, on Yontev, we would say in Shemoneh Esrei, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, that Hashem was Mekadesh Kol Yisrael and the Yom Tovim. So again, we're giving Hashem a special bracha on the day of Yontev. So each and every day, give a bracha that is unique to that day. So just like we do it in terms of days, Hachanami, so Rabbi Yehuda saw from that a precedent that kol min umin ten loy main brachos, that each and every type of food that a person consumes, you should give Hashem the unique bracha. Therefore, by regular vegetables, where you don't eat the roots itself, so there you make a bar priyadama. But where you're eating the whole plant itself, as in the case of cabbage, there you would make a bracha bar min yishayim. And where you're eating seeds, for example, there bar min yishayim. There Rabbi Yehuda also has a specific bracha. This is the idea of Rabbi Yehuda. However, as we said before, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and we make a bar priyadama on all of these items. And since we quoted pertaining to Masechta Brachos from Rabbi Zeira, or some say from Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, so the Gemara again does on this Amud, as we had before from Rav Bar Shmuel named Rabbi Chia, the Gemara does the same thing here, that we begin quoting other rules and other mamorim sayings that people said. The Amar Rabzeira said, Vitema, or some say it's Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Boy Urei, come and see, Shalaiki Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basar V'dam, that Hashem does not operate the way human beings operate. Midas Basar V'dam, Kli Urei Kod Machzik. The way of a person of flesh and blood, a human being, operates is that if he has an empty vessel, he can put something into an empty vessel. But Mole, if he has a full vessel, Eina Machzik, he's not able to put anything into a full vessel. But by Hashem, it's the opposite. Avol Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein Mole Machzik. If it is full, then Hashem is able to put something in it, as we will soon explain the case. Reikon, if it is empty, Eino Machzik, then it can't hold anything. Shenemar Vayomer Im Shamoa Tishma. And how do I explain this repetition? If you will hear, you will hear. Im Shamoa Tishma means if you will hear, as Rashi says, Pam achas, if you hear one soifcha shatita oizim pam acheres, then you will hear once again. Or as Rashi in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis explains it, if you listen to your parents and your rabbeim when you're young, you will again listen when you're older. Im Shamoa continues the Gemara, Tishma, Vim Lav, and if you don't listen when you're young, Lo Tishma, you won't listen when you're old. Dover Achor, another interpretation. Im Shamoa, Bi Yashan, if you listen in the old, Tishma B'chodesh, you'll listen in the new. As Rashi explains, Sheshan Nisa, Vishilashto, Masha Shamati Shtakit. If you repeat, you review twice and three times what you learned before. So in other words, you're reviewing, you're remembering. So then, when you learn new material, that will enhance your understanding of the old material, which you're retaining through chazara, through repetition, and the new material will give you enhanced appreciation, understanding in the old material. So that's the idea, that it's, if you're full of Torah, if you're molei, then machzik. By Hashem, if you're full, then you can get even more. But if reikon, if you're empty, ain't a machzik. And that's what the Gemara concludes, im yifna levavcha. If your heart turns away, and you don't, in your youth, or your heart turns away, you don't repeat what you've learned. Shuv laitishma, so then when you learn new things, there's no old material to be enhanced because you don't remember your old material. And therefore, you're not going to benefit anything by your new learning as well. So it's important for a person to review his learning, and certainly those who learn Daf Yomi, this is a wonderful way of retaining everything you've learned by constant review. Continues the next Mishnah. Biruch al perisay ilan bari pri adam. If a person made a mistake, and instead of making on fruit a bari pri eitz, he made a bari pri adam. Yatza, he fulfills his requirement, as the Gemara will explain. Because since the fruit ultimately is receiving nourishment from the earth, even though it starts off by receiving nourishment from a tree, but the tree is getting its nourishment from the earth, so therefore the bracha of Adama of the earth applies on the fruit as well. But if you did the opposite, valperis arts are vegetables that grow from the ground and do not grow on a tree. If he said bar priya eitz lo yatza, then he does not fulfill his requirement, because a bar priya eitz cannot fulfill the requirement on something that grows from the ground and not from a tree. The Gemara will ask that this seems to be an obvious thing. Why does it have to be stated in the Mishnah? Valkulam, and on all of them, Imamar Shahakul Niyavidvar Yatza. If he said the catch-all bracha, that everything was created with the dibur, the word of Hashem, he's Yatza. And the Gemara will have a machlokas whether kulam, all of these items, refers to those in our Mishnah, which would include the fruits and vegetables. He said a shahakal instead of a bar priyats or a bar priyadama, or does it even include items listed in the Mishnah on Daflam and Hayam and Aleph, which is bread, pas, and yayin, even if he said a shahakal instead of a maitzi, or he said a shahakal instead of a bar priya gafen, whether he fulfills his obligation or not, this will be discussed in the Gemara. And now the Gemara wants to know, man tana de ikar ilan aruhi, who is the tana of our Mishnah who says that a bar priya dama is good for fruit, because he learns that the main thing of a tree is the ground, and therefore the bracha of adama, of ground, will free him from his obligation on a fruit which grows on a tree. Who is that Tana? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda he. This is Rav Yehuda, this nun. We learned in a Mishnah in Bikurim, Yavish Hamayim V'Niktza Se'ilon, Mevi V'Nikai Rei. We know that in the beginning of Parsha Kisavei, the Torah tells us that when a person has new fruit in his yard, he should tie a red string around it and bring it to Yerushalayim. And then he says the Parshas Bikurim, he thanks Hashem for the new fruit. And one of the psukim in that thanks to Hashem is that he thanks Hashem min adam Hashem asatali, that these fruits grew from the ground, from Eretz Yisrael, that you have given unto me. So the Tana Kama says that if the mayon, if the spring that gives nourishment to the earth has dried up, or the tree has been cut down, and this happened after he harvested the fruits from the ground and before he brought it to Yerushalayim, so the din is, maybe Vena Kaira, he's allowed to bring the fruit as Bikurim, he should bring it, but he does not recite the Parsha of Bikurim, because he cannot say, as Rashi explains, Min Adama Shenasatali, because his Adama has been defected. The spring has dried up, the tree has been cut down, so therefore what's giving the sustenance to the fruit is no longer there, min adama. According to the Tana Kama, min adama has to include those items which give the nourishment to the ground, to the fruit, and if they're missing, he cannot fully say to Hashem, min ha'adama ashen asatli. However, of Yehuda Aymer, maybe v'kayre, no, he brings the new fruit and he reads. Why? Because he's the Tana who holds ikar ilan arahi. The ground, which is the main part of the whole tree, is still here. So even if the spring dried up, even if the tree was cut down, but the ground is here, and he can therefore, on the fruits that he's bringing to Yerushalayim, he can still say, min ha'adama asher nasatali, and since the main part is still here, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that bar priya adama helps on fruit, because the main thing that the fruit grows from is not the tree, but the ground. the Mishnah says that al peiros ha'aretz, that on vegetables, if he said bari p'rietz, he's not yotze afraid. Gemara pshita, that is simple. Why does the Mishnah have to tell it to us? Amram nachmi yitzchak le'nitzcha el Rav Yehuda. This must be said and learnt in the Mishnah only according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Amar, Rav Yehuda's opinion was chita, that a wheat min ilan, it's a type of tree. Where do we find Rav Yehuda holds that wheat is a type of tree? This is the Sani we learned in a brisa. Ilan shachal mimenu Adam Arishan. What was the tree that Adam Arishan ate from? The Eitz Hadas. The popular belief in the world is that it was an apple tree, but the Gemara here brings a few opinions, and none of them say that it was an apple tree, but rather Rav Meir's opinion is Rav Meir Amar Gefenoya, that it was a vine, it was a grape vine. She'ein loch dover she'mevi yololo alo adam eliyayin. Why does Rav Meir think that it was a gefen? Because there's nothing that brings wailing to a person more than wine. When a person overindulges in drinking wine, he becomes intoxicated, he does things that he should not be doing, and he regrets them, and this brings to him wailing. And since the great misfortune over here of Adam Arishan was that he brought, through his actions of eating the Eitz Hadas, he brought Misa, death, to the world, so therefore Rav Meir understands that it must have been a Geffen, because Geffen is that fruit which brings the most wailing to the world. And where do we find in the Torah precedent that wine was detrimental for a person? Shenamar, it says by Noach, Vayesh Melayayin Vayishkar, that he drank from the wine and he became intoxicated and he degraded himself, Noach, and he gave a curse on Canaan. And therefore we find a precedent that Yayin is very detrimental if used in excess. And therefore, Meir's opinion is, this is what Adam HaRishon ate. This was the Eitz Hadas. Rav Nechemya, Rav Nechemya disagrees, and he says, Te'enoisa, the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree. Why? Shevedavrishon eskalkulu boi nesaknu. That in that very item in which there was a downfall for Adam and Chava, eating from this fig tree, that's what they used to correct their situation. When they discovered that they were naked, Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayisperu alei te'ena, that they sewed together fig leaves to cover their erva. And therefore, since this is what they had a kilkel in, this is what they used to fix their problem, and therefore it was, according to Rav Nechemya's opinion, a ta'ena. Rav Yehuda's opinion was, you know what the Eitz Hadas was, the tree of knowledge? Chito ha'isa, it was a wheat. She'ein atinik yedeya likris abba v'imu achiyitim tam dagen. We find that two things happen simultaneously. As a child begins to eat grain derivatives, he begins to eat foods made from grain. At the same time, we see he gets intelligence. He begins calling out to his father and his mother. So therefore, since he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Rabbi Yehuda believes that it must have been a chita, which we find seems to cause intelligence in young babies. Salkadat Chamina. So now that we know Rabbi Yehuda considers the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, was a wheat, I would have thought Hoilvam Rabbi Yehuda chita min ilon. It's a type of tree, a chita levorach labor priates, that one could make a bor priates on it. That's why the Mishnah has to tell you that no, that even on a wheat, if someone made bor priates and he didn't make bor priadom, he's not yotze kumash malon. It comes to teach us. This is the chiddush of our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. What is the rationale for the chiddush? Heichem avarchin bor priates. It comes to teach you that when do you make a bar priates, hecha dechishakas le'leperi, that when you take away the fruit, isi le'gavzia. The gavzia still remains. What is gavzia? So Rashi says that it is ha'anav shalaitz, the branch of the tree. The Rush disagrees and says that it is the root of the tree. V'hadr mapik, that tree remains from year to year and gives out new fruits on the same tree, the same branch or the same root will create new fruit next year. That's what you make a bar priates on, a perennial. Avol hecha d'chishakas le'leperi lesa l'gavza d'hadr mapik. But when, in the case, for example, of wheat, where you take away the fruit and you do not leave over a branch or a root which will next year bring out the same fruit, so, which is the case of a wheat, In that case, you do not make a bar pri eitz. Rather, you make a bar pri adama. So, although Rabbi Yehuda called the eitz hadas a chita, but still, in terms of brachas, one does not make a bar pri eitz on it. One makes a bar pri adama. Then the Mishnah continued, Val Kulon, and in all of them, Imam Shahakwal, like he said, Shahakwal, he's Yotze. Now, what does Val Kulon mean? We have a machlokes between Rabbi Hun and Rabbi Yachin. Itmar Rabbi Hun Amar, Chutzman Apasimon Ayayin, that Val Kulon does not include the Mishnah and Daflam and Hayamid Aleph. If he made a Shahakwal on bread or wine, he's not Yotze. And Rashi gives us the reason, because Yayin is special. Shegayrim Brachas Harbalatsma, Bekiddish, Rabdolah, Bebirs Chasanim. That Yayin causes other brachas to be made on it. For example, the bracha of Kiddush, or the bracha of Avdolah, or the bracha under the chuppah of Birchas Chasanim. And since it's so chashuv, it makes other brachas. And likewise, bread, if there's no yayin, for example, for Kiddush, you can use challah to make Kiddush over. So it also causes other brachas to be made on it. Therefore, according to Rav Huna, shahakol will not suffice over these very chashuv items that cause other brachas to be made on them. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, Va'al Kulon is not only our Mishnah on Daf Mem Amid Aleph concerning fruits and vegetables, but even the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph concerning bread and wine, Afilu Pas V'Yayin, also Shachal Nevedvoris suffices if one said it over them. Neima Ketanoi, the Gemara thinks that this machloikis between Rabbi Yehuna and Rabbi Yochanan is a machloikis Tanoi. Raw pasiv, somebody saw bread, va'omer, and he said, kama no pazu, how beautiful is this bread. He made up his own bracha. Baruch ha'mokam shabor raw, blessed is Hashem who created them. Yotze, he's yotze, according to Rab Meir. Or, raw tein of omer, kama no tein azu, how beautiful is this tein, this fig. And then he said, Baruch ha'mokam shabor raw, blessed is Hashem who created this fig. Yotze, divi, Rab Meir is of the opinion that in both of these brachas, he's Yotze. Even though he made up his own bracha, and he did it differently than what the Chachamim were misakin. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, kol ha'mishana, mimabeh sh'tavu Chachamim, bebrachas lo Yotze yidei chavase. Anyone who changes the formula that the Chachamim formalized for brachas, for blessings, he does not fulfill his requirement. So the Gemara wants to say, name Rav Huna Damer Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yochanan Damer Rabbi Meir, maybe Rav Huna, who says that if you make a shahakol on bread and wine, you're not Yotze. He holds like Rabbi Yosi that any deviation from what the Chachamim were misakin for brachas, one does not fulfill his requirement. And Rabbi Yochanan, who says that shahakol works on pasiyayin, he will hold like Rav Meir that one could be flexible as long as one makes a bracha to Hashem. He doesn't have to make it exactly like the Chachamim dictated. Amar Lach Rav Huda, so the Gemara wants to say, no, one argument does not have to do with the other argument. Amar Lach Rav Huda, Rav Huda will tell you, Ano da Amriya Fula Rav Meir, I am not only saying my halacha, that a shahakol will not work on pasviyayin. I'm not saying it only according to Rabbi Yosi, who says kol hamishana mimad beishav chamim is lo yotza, but I can even go according to Rabbi Meir, who says that you are yotza. Why? Because at kan lekom Rabbi Meir hasam elahecha de komatker shmei de pas. When does Rabbi Meir say that you could fulfill a bracha not exactly like the Chum said? When he's at least mentioning bread. He says, Kama no pazu, how beautiful is this bread? So then that's similar to Hamotzi lechem min oretz. Hashem brought out bread from the ground. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you would fulfill your obligation. But where you don't even mention the word of pas, you just say, Shahakol niyabidvori, everything was made with Hashem's word, so then I feel Rav Meir Moide, even Rav Meir would agree to me, to Rav Huna, that Shahakol does not work over bread. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach, and Rabbi Yochanan who says that Shahakol does work over bread, Ano Damri, what I say is a fill of Rabbi Yossi. Not only do I work out as Rav Meir said, but I can even work out according to Rabbi Yossi, who said that any deviation from the Chacham, you're not Yotze. How will Rabbi Yossi, who says you're not Yotze with a deviation, agree to me? Afilu Rabbi Yossi, ad kan lekom Rabbi Yossi, when did Rabbi Yossi say you're not Yotze? Hasan was only over there by ma noe pazu. He says, Kamano Pazu El Mishum de Kamar Bracha Dlotkin Rabbanan. The bracha that he's saying is his own made up version of a bracha. There's no precedent for such a bracha. Chazal never formalized in any situation such a bracha. Then Rabbi Yossi says, you're not Yotze. Aval Omar Shahakul Nibidvari. But if he said the bracha of Shahakul Nibidvari, which the Tkina Rabbanan, the Rabbanan did make up such a bracha. True. They didn't make it for bread, they made it for water, for example. But there is a precedent for such a bracha. So my opinion is that for the Rabbi Yossi might, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that Shahakul suffices for bread or wine, because it is a bracha which Chacham have made in other circumstances, and therefore Rabbi Yossi would hold it is good. Rabbi Yossi holds the only bracha that's not good is one that a person makes up all on his own, and that in fact would not suffice. The Gemara now tells us a story of Binyamin Raya, Binyamin the shepherd. Korach Rifti, he broke bread. And after he broke bread and he ate, Va'amar, he made, as Birchas Hamazon, Brich Mori the High Pita, blessed is the master of this bread. Amar Rav Yotza, Rav said, you're Yotze. He doesn't have to say over benching. The Gemara asks a question, Va'amar Rav, called Baruch Hashem, Bo Haskos Hashem, ain't a bracha. Any bracha that does not have Hashem's name directly in it, he just said, More, the master of High Pita, but he did not mention Hashem's name itself. Such a bracha is not a bracha. So if so, how could Rav say, you're Yotze? Rav himself says that a bracha without Hashem's name, you're not Yotze. The Gemara answers, the Amar Brich Rachmana, More, Dai Pita. You're right, you have to add a word, a name of Hashem. He said, blessed is Rachmana, which is the name of Hashem, who is the master of this bread. The Gemara says we have another difficulty. While being in Shalosh Brachos, there's only one bracha being said here. We need three brachas. Granted that this version of the first bracha of benching will be good for the first bracha, but we need three brachas. So the Gemara answers, my yotza, the kamar Rav. You know what Rav meant when he said, you fulfill your obligation. My yotza, kamar Rav, nami yotza, yedei bracha rishon. You know what he meant to say is that you fulfill your right only the first bracha. In fact, he's going to have to say the two other brachas of benching, but he doesn't have to repeat the first bracha. My kamashimon. So the Gemara says, if this is the pshat, so what is the chiddush of Rav? If he said two other brachas, and if he's saying Hashem's name, so what chiddush is Rav telling us in his psak? The only chiddush that remains would be Afal Gavda Amar Blashachal, because he's not saying in Hebrew, he's saying in Aramaic. But that also we've learned. Once we know that he said Hashem's name, if he wouldn't say Hashem's name in your Yotze, that would be a chiddush. But Rav Paskin said you have to say Hashem's name to fulfill a bracha. And if you would only say one bracha, not three, that would also be a chiddush. But you're telling me he had to say the two other brachas also. So the only other chiddush could be that he said it b'losh shechol in a secular language. Tanina, we've learned that also. Ve'elu nemor b'chol loshen. It says in Masechta Soita that these things are said in every language. The first one is Parsha Soita, as Rashi explains, kishakoy meshbiya, when the kohen makes the woman the soita swear that she did when she hid with a strange man, and her husband warned her, don't hide with that strange man, and she did it anyway, and we suspect that she committed an avera with that person, and she says, I did not commit an avera. She swears, I did not commit. So that teshuah can be said in any language, even a secular language, not only Lashon HaKodesh. So also, vidui meiser. Every 3 years, when it's the end of the three-year cycle of meiseris, and a person is given meiser rishon, meiser sheni, meiser ani, and he says at the end of 3 years, he says that this is said during Pesach. He says, Erev Pesach, he says, I've given all the maestros to the people who are supposed to get it. He's allowed to say that confession, that vidui meiser, b'chol lashon, even in a secular language. Also, kriya shema can be said in every language. Utvila and davening shmoneh esrei, and finally, ubirchas hamazon can be said in every language. So if so, what is the chiddush of Rav? That he said in Aramaic, brich rachmana moridai pita? We have the Gemara in Saita that tells us that. So the Gemara says, no, there is still a chiddush. It's true. We need Rav's teaching. Why? I would think, honey, mili da'am rabbi lashon choyl, that when does Rav say that you can be Yotze Birchas HaMazon when he said it in a secular language, exactly ki heichad et kina rabbanan b'lashon kodesh. He translated it word for word exactly. Then it works if he did it in a secular language. Avaloy amr b'lashon chayil ki heichad et kina rabbanan b'lashon kodesh. But if he didn't say it in a secular language exactly the way he said it in Hebrew, he had two problems. Number one, he said it in a secular language. And the second issue was that he didn't say it exactly. He didn't translate it word for word. As Binyamin de Roya said, he made up his own bracha, brich, rachmana, moridai pita. That is certainly not an exact translation of the whole first bracha of benching. So I would think that then saying it's in a secular language does not help. Amaloi, maybe it won't be good. Kamash Milan, that even with these two points against him, A, that it's in a secular lashon, B, it's not exactly the way the Chachamim formulated the bracha, Rav's Chiddush is, Kamash Milan, that Afal Pikein, he is Yotze, the bracha, and he doesn't have to say at least the first bracha of benching over again. Gufa, we learned before. Amar Rav, Rav said, Kol bracha she'en bo hazkaras Hashem, in a bracha. Any bracha that doesn't have Hashem's name in it is not considered a valid bracha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says you need something else as well. Kol bracha she'en bo malchus, ain't a bracha. Any bracha that does not mention that Hashem is the Melech Olam, the King of the world, is not considered a valid bracha. Amar Abaya, kavasei de Rav Mistavra. It makes sense that Rav is correct, that the only thing that's needed for a valid bracha is Hashem's name, and you do not need Melech Olam, the sign that we learned in the Brisa. In the Vidui Meiser that we mentioned before at the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy, he says, I didn't transgress any of your mitzvahs, and I didn't forget. What does this refer to? Says the Gemara. I didn't forget to make a bracha concerning the Trumas and Meisers, as Rashi tells us, the Nusach HaBracha Baruch Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvahs V'tzvahna LaHafrish Truma U'Meiser. And this bracha, of course, is only made a Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan found an Asmachta, a hint, a remez to this bracha in these words, loy avarti, mi mitzvah secha, referring that I did not refrain from blessing you before I gave trumas and maestros, veloy shachachti. And I also didn't forget. What didn't I forget? Mohasker Shem Cholav, to mention your name, to say Hashem's name, because Rav's opinion is that in order for a bracha to be valid, you have to say Hashem's name. So this Sifri, which Gemara is quoting here in Parsha Kisavoy, is validates what Rav's opinion was, because Ve'ilu Malchus Loitani. It doesn't say over there, I didn't forget to say your name and that you're Melech Olam. So it would seem that even if I forgot to say Melech Olam, the bracha would be valid. So Rabbi Yochanan, how will Rabbi Yochanan respond? Rabbi Yochanan, Tani, you have to learn in that Sifri, V'loi Shechachti Malahaskir Shimcha U'malchus Chalav. Einach Hanami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says you'll have to amend the Sifri that not only didn't I forget to say Hashem's name, but I also didn't forget to mention that he's Melech Ha'olam. And the Mephorshim explained that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the story of Binyamin the shepherd, not only will you have to add the word Rachmana, Hashem's name, to his benching, but you'll also have to add the words Malka Dalma, the King of the world, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he would not say also Melech Ha'olam, the King of the world, he would not be Yotze benching. Continues the Mishnah. Valdover Shein Gedulim in Arts, anything that does not grow from the ground, such as milk, eggs. Omer, he says, Shahakol Niyabidvore, that everything was created with the word of Hashem, Alachoymetz on vinegar. Valanoivlois, and Anoivlois, the Gemara will explain that these are dates that have been ruined, or something negative has happened, and we'll wait for the two pshatim in the Gemara. Va'al haguvoi, Rashi translates that guvoi are chagovim tohoirim. These are kosher locusts. Omer, he says, shakol niyabidvori. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, kol shumin kolol. Anything that has to do with a curse, ein mevorchalov, you do not make a bracha on it. And it would seem that these three things have to do with a curse, because chaimetz is vinegar, is wine that has spoiled. Neivlois, wamsha in the Gemara, is dates that were scorched by the sun, so they have been ruined. So that's a klala. Valaguvoi, and locusts, which cause devastation by eating up all the greenery, that's also a curse. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that all of these things do not require any bracha whatsoever. If a person has in front of him many different types of foods to eat, what does he make a bracha on first? Rabbi Yehuda says, if one of the items that's in front of him is from the seven different foods that the Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, that is the one he will make the bracha on. The Chum disagree, and they say, he should make a bracha on what he wants, which is called Chaviv. Tana Rabbana, the Rabbana learned, Al Dover, Shein Gedulim and Artski Goin, Basar, Behemois, Vechayois, Veoifis, Vedogim. If a person ate meat of animals, domesticated animals, or Chayos, wild animals, birds, fish, oimer, on all of these which do not grow from the ground, he says, Sharkol Niabidvari, Ala Cholav Amilk, Val Beitzim, and on eggs, Valak Vina on cheese, oimer Shahakal, Ala Pashevsha, on bread that's spoiled, Val Yan Shakerim, and on wine that's spoiled, Val Tavsha Shavit Surasoy, and on a cooked item that its Sura, its look has been rendered spoiled. Oimer, he says, on all of these things, Shahakol, Al Hamelech, on salt, and as on these past items, since you're not getting the main benefit of bread and wine the way it's supposed to be, therefore the bracha changes from hamotzi or from hagefen, it goes to shahakol nevedvari. Al hamelech on salt, val zomis on salt water, val kamin upatris on truffles and mushrooms. Oimer shahakol, he says shahakol. Lameimra, you telling me the kamin upatris lav gedul lekarkdinut, they don't grow from the ground, and that's why you make a bracha shahakol. Vahatanya hanodur miperes haaretz, so somebody says I will not take benefit from fruits of the ground, from vegetables. Oser bepeiros haaretz, he's oser in vegetables, but umutter b'kaminu patris are not considered bona fide vegetables, and therefore he would be permitted to eat mushrooms and truffles. V'yem amar kol geduli karka, but if he says anything that grows from the ground, olai osir, af b'kaminu patris, then he's osir even in mushrooms and truffles. So what do we see? That they may not be the best vegetables, but they are a type of vegetable which this person now, by saying kol geduli karka, is prohibited to eat. So why not make a bar pri adama on them as well? Because they grow from the ground in some manner. Amar Abaya, mirva rav miara. You're right. They do grow from the ground in a certain indirect manner because the ground has moisture, and these are growing on the ground or near the ground, and they get this moisture from the ground. And therefore, if he said kol geduli karka, they would be included. But min kilian kamiar, but they do not directly get nourishment from the ground. They're not attached to the ground with roots in the ground, getting nourishment from the ground, and therefore they are not complete vegetables. And in terms of making a bracha of bar pri adama, you would in fact not make a bracha pri adama, only a shahakol. But since they have some connection of growing from the ground, they would be included in the neder of a person who said called gedule kark. The Gemara asks on this, well, dovrish and gedule min arts tani. You're giving me a new criteria that they have to be yonek. They have to get their sustenance directly from the ground, but that's not the criteria that was written in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it has to be something that grows from the ground. If kaminu patrias in some way grow from the ground, even if it's indirectly, then in fact you should make a bar pri adama. So the Gemara says tani. You have to understand that what it says in the Mishnah is al dovar shein yonek min haaretz. That's what people understand when they speak about fruits that grow from the ground, that these are things that are yonek min haaretz, and therefore, in that strict understanding, these kamina patrias would not be included in bar pri adama. Continues the mission of Allah Noivlas. My Noivlas, what are Noivlas? Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Lod, is Machlokes, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Lod. Chadomer, one says Bushli Kamra, that these are dates that were scorched by the sun. Chadomer, one says Tamri de Zika, that these are winds that have come and swept off these dates from the tree. To none, Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, Kol Shumin Klola, anything that is a Klola, Ein Levorch Malav, you do not make any broch on it. And he's referring, it would seem, to Noivlis as well. Bisham Lamandi Yomer Bushli Kamra, it's good according to the one who says that what are Noivlis, sun-scorched dates, Hainu the Korle Min Klola, that's why Rabbi Yehuda referred to it as a Min Klola, because they can hardly be eaten anymore. El man the Omer time of the Zika, but according to the ones who say that the wind swept it off before its full time of growing from the tree, my min klala, what kind of klala is it? You could still eat it. It might not be the best fruit, but it's not a klola. It's still a very luscious, edible fruit. The more answers you're right, ashara, the min klola the Rebbe was referring to, was on the chaymitz, the vinegar, and on the gavoy, the chagavim tahirim. These are the ones that have to do with klola, which Rebbe holds you don't make a bracha on. Ikka the amri, some say. Bishlam, lamandi yomer bushli kamri, if I say that the noivlis are sun-scorched dates, now I understand why you make a shahakol, because they are not a eitz, they've been destroyed to a certain extent, and therefore you don't have the full benefit of the fruit. You only make a shahakol. El mandiyomer, but according to the mandiyomer, says tamid zika, that it is dates that are swept off the tree. Shahakol. Does the Mishnah say you should make a shahakol? Boyer preitz or boyer leis levruche. You should make a bracha boyer preitz since they are very edible. Why would you make a shahakol? El Odigmor says the following. Bin noivlis stamo, if the word noivlis does not have any other adjective attached to it, so kuliyamalo pligi de bush le kamenetu. In our Mishnah, of course, there would not be a machlokes Rav Zeir and Rav Ila. Our noivlis are certainly sun-scorched dates, and therefore they are damaged, and therefore you only make a shahakol and not a bar priates. Keepli, where do we find the machlokes between Rav Zeir and Rav Ila? We find it in another Mishnah, Masechtas Demai. Keepli, b'noivlis tamra. There, it's not plain noivlis, but it's noivlis of a date. It uses the word date as well. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Demai. Hakalin shebe Demai, the ones that are easiest in the Demai. Demai is produce that has been taken from an Amoritz, and the Chacham suspected that the Amoratzim did not give Meiser from this produce, and therefore the person who is buying it from the Amoratzim has to give Meiser himself. However, the Chacham did not make their Tarkana by cheap items where the profit margin would not be a large one if the person would not give Meiser, and therefore these Kalin, which are known as the easy ones of the Mai, the Chacham did not require the person buying it from the Amoritz to give Meiser again. What are these items? The Mishnah now lists several items which the Gemara will explain exactly what these items are. Hashisin, Varimin, Va'izdarin, V'naishuach, V'naishikma, Gufnin, V'nitzpa, V'naivlis Tamra. This is the concerns us in our Sugya, the Naivlis Tamra. These are the Kalin which you do not have to give Meiser. Now, what are these items? Shisin, Amar Rabbi Baruchana. Rabbi Baruchana said, Amar Rabbi Yechne, Rabbi Yechne, Min Te'enim. These are a type of dates. Rimin. What are rimin? These are kindi. And kindi are a date-like fruit. Ha'oizradin. What is oizradin? Oizradin are tulshi. Tulshi is sorb apples. B'noi shuach, what are they? Amar Rabbi Ruchan Rabbi Yochanan. Te'enichirutu. These are white figs. B'noi shikma, what are they? Amar Rabbi Ruchan Rabbi Yochanan. Duvli, these are sycamore figs. Gufnin, what are gufnin? Shilhei gufni, these are late season grapes. Nitzme, pircha. Nitzme is a caper berry. Noivlis tamara, and this is what is nagei ar sugya. What about noivlis tamara? So the Gemara says that this is the machloikis between Rav Ila and Rav Zeir. Chad amar bushle kimer v'chad amar tamrizika. One says the sun scorched dates, and one says it is dates that were swept off the tree by the winds. Bishlam lamandi amar bushle kimer hainadiktoni hakalin shebedemai sveikun hu de potter ha'vadan chayit. So now it makes sense that the ones that are in doubt, if you buy it from the Amoritz, you don't know if he gave Meiser or not, misafik your potter. But if you're vadai, if you know for sure, he tells you, I did not give Meiser from it, chayit, then of course you would be mechuyev to give Meiser. Elamandiyomer, according to the one who says tamid zika, that these are swept off the tree, vadan chayiv. If you knew for sure he didn't give Meiser, you would be chayv to give Meiser, the person who buys it. Hefker and Inu, they were swept off the tree, they fell to the ground, they're hefker, and we know the hefker is potter from Meiser. The Gemara answers, Hafim Ma'askin, Shasim Gairin, the person collecting the swept off dates, the Oni, he piled it up into a pile, and there is a special takan of the chum that the Oni has to give Meiser. These three types of matnas aniyim, presents given to the poor, sha'asim garin, if the poor person piled them up, by piling them up, hukvu l'meiser, they now became established for Meiser, and the Oni has to give Meiser from them. So it's a special takana. So even if it's swept off the tree, it would still be chayav meiser if the ani made a pile of them, because the people looking at what's happening think that he owns the field and he's piling up his fruits, and then they see he doesn't give meiser. So in order to make sure that this chashash would be avoided, he is mechuyev to give meiser. Ikad yamri, some say. Bishlam the mandi yamri tamar dezika. It's good according to the mandi yamri who says that these are swept off the tree. Haina dehach and korlu noivloi stama vahasim korlu tamra. We're now at the top of daf mem aleph amid aleph. So the Gemara says that it's according to the mandi yamri who says that it's swept off the tree. Now it makes perfectly good sense why. In our Mishnah, it's written noivlos. Because in our Mishnah, as we explained before, everyone agrees that noivlos means sun scorch, because that's why you make a shahakal. They were damaged, and therefore you do not make a barbarit, you only make a shahakal. So in our Mishnah, it's called noivlos tamo. But vahasam in Masechta Demai korle tamra, it's called noivlos tamra, because there he's of the opinion that these noivlos are swept by the wind. They're not sun scorched, so they have a new name, noivlos tamra. El mandiyamr bushli kamra. But according to the mandiyamr, who says that not only in our Mishnah in Brachas does noivlos mean sun scorched, but also the Mishnah in Demai, it also, where it says noivlos tamra, it's also referring to sun scorched dates. If so, we have a problem. Nisni idividi noivlos tamra, or idividi noivlos tamra. According to him, why is there a difference in terminology between our Mishnah, which calls it Noivlos Tam, and the Mishnah over there, which calls it Noivlos Tamra? Make up your mind. Either call it in both Mishnayos Noivlos Tamra, or call it in both Mishnayos Noivlos Tam without the adjective of Tamra, because it's referring to sun scorched in both Mishnahs, so give it the same name, Kasha. This is not a Tiyufta. It doesn't mean he's wrong, but it is a Ha'ara, it is a slight difficulty why, in fact, the Mishnah in both places did not give it the exact same name. Yeah, you put it on this time, right? Okay, it's ready, bye.